Okay, Rabbi Yisai, today's daf is daf Vav, and we're starting from the very, very top of the Omud. Says the Gemara, Omer Rava, we start off on not such a happy note. If Chas V'Sholem mes b'yontav rishon, somebody, Rachman Leslon, passed away. On the first day of Yontav, yis'asku boy amomim, then Yidin should not participate in doing the actual kavura, because the actual kavura will involve a number of isurim, such as having to dig out a kaver, perhaps cutting up tachrichim, things of that nature. All of that should be done by goyim. On Yom Tov Sheni, on the other hand, I know it says here mes, but the Bach takes out the word mes, because we're not referring to a person that necessarily died on the second day. It could be a person that died even on the first day, but for whatever reason, they were not kover him on day one. And now it's Yom Tov Sheni, the second day, is asked by Yisrael. Then even Yidin, even Jews, are allowed to go and do the full-fledged kvura. And as we'll see in the Gemara shortly, and as Rashi explains, when we're talking about doing a full-fledged kvura, it's like Yom Chol L'Chol Devrayim. It's as if it's a regular, ordinary day. We'll see that in Yet Hashem shortly in the Gemara. Now, Rava adds, V'afilu Mishne Yom Toim Mishal Rosh Hashanah, even on 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Can you imagine, Rabbi Yisai? We're learning this Gemara on Erev Rosh Hashanah, and it's talking about the next 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, but hopefully this Chas V'Sholem will not be Nogia L'Halacha, this Inyan of the Mess. But Masha'en came Bebeya. However, egg is different. In which respect is egg different? We've now equated the din of Chas V'Sholem, a mess, between Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias and the Shnei Yom Tovim Shel Rosh Hashanah, where we're saying that on the first day, even only Goyim can do the work, while on the second day, even Yidin, even in Rosh Hashanah. Masha'en kim Abayev, however, Babayev, that's not the case. They were not makel on the second day of Rosh Hashanah for Beya. They were only makel for the din of Chas V'Sholem, Kvuras Hames. And in fact, this is Rava Lishitosai, because you'll recall, we ended off yesterday's Gemara on the bottom, where Rava was saying we paskin like Rav in all three cases. What were the three cases of Rav? We had in the Gemara, if you had Shabbos and Yontif, or Yontif and Shabbos, consecutive days. If it's Nolda Bazeh, said Rav, Asura Bazeh. If, on the other hand, it was 2 days of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios, 2 days of Sukkot, for instance, then Nolda Bazeh, Muteres Bazeh. And then once again, if it's 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, Nolda Bazeh, Asura Bazeh. And the reason, as we explained, is because when you're talking about the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, it's considered to be like one Kedusha. And therefore it's like a Yoima Arichta, one long 48-hour day, one long day. And so therefore whatever is also the first day is also the second day. So that's what Rav is saying. Remember, by Beya, we were Machmir, by the Shnei Yom Tovim Rosh Hashanah. And we said not only if it's Beya Shanol the Beyond of the first day, but even, not only is it also the first day, but even the second day it will be also. Masha'en kim comes Chas V'Sholem to a mess, says Rav, we're going to be Mekel, and we're going to allow for the Kvuras Hames on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Well, Nerdami Amri, Nerdoi respectfully disagree with the Psak of Rav, and they say, after Beya, even by Beya is the same din. What does that mean that it's the same din? Just like we're Mekel on the mess on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, we're Mekel by the egg on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. This is a shtickle chiddush over here that Nerdoi is being so makel, because as you remember, the halacha of Rosh Hashanah being osur both days was Rav and Shmuel together. That was in the bottom of Dalid Amid Beis, Shnei Yom Tovim Shel Rosh Hashanah, Rav and Shmuel, the Amr Tavayu, Nolda Bezeh Asura Bezeh. And we know that Shmuel, of course, lived in Nerdoi, because Shmuel always says, Nehiran Lish. Hiran lay shvila derekia kishvila nerda. So obviously Shmuel lived in Nerda, presumably was the poisik, the chief rabbi, so to speak, in Nerda. Maybe this is a different Nerdoyin. But regardless, they say in Nerda they were mekel on the halacha of Deya on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Zokti Mora, I'll tell you why in Nerda they were mekel. The Ma'adatach, what's the reason why you want to be machmir? Dilma ma'abri leili elul, because you're concerned about that they might want to make 30 days of elul and then make the first day Rosh Hashanah. Now, Rabbi say you're all familiar with this, but it's always kedai to remind ourselves the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are different than the 2 days of Rosh Chodesh whenever we have a 2 day Rosh Chodesh. When you have 2 days Rosh Chodesh, the first day is always lamid to the previous month, and the second day is Aleph to the next month. For instance, it's very common that Rosh Chodesh Kislev is 2 days. So the first day of Rosh Chodesh Kislev is really Lamed Cheshvin, and then the next day, the second day of Rosh Chodesh, is Aleph Kislev. In the case of Rosh Hashanah, today Rav Yisai is Chof Tes Elul. Tomorrow and the next day are going to be Aleph Tishrei and Beis Tishrei. And this is of major consequence. It's not just, okay, who cares, 29th day, 30th day, 30th day, major consequence, because since tomorrow is the first day of Tishrei, then 10 days or 9 days later on Yud Tishrei is going to be none other than Yom Kippur. If tomorrow, for instance, was the 30th day of Elul, and only on Wednesday would we have the first day of Rosh Hashanah, then Yom Kippur would come out on Friday, which of course is impossible. So it's important to note that Rosh Hashanah is Aleph and Beis, tomorrow and the day after. But in the times of Chazal that we're talking about over here, remember, what was the original takana that the Gemara is talking about? The Ma'adaitach Vilma Ma'abrid Levi Elul. The original takana was that whenever the Eidim would come, before they made the initial takana, whenever the Eidim would come on what everybody expected to be Rosh Hashanah, that is, the 30th day of Elul, it wasn't the 30th day of Elul, it was the day after the 29th day of Elul. It's the 30th day of Elul, and we're waiting for the Eidim to come, and the Eidim have not come at the time of the Tumid Shel Bein HaBoyim. And what did we do? The Levim sang the Shir as if it was a regular day, based on the expectation that the Eidim were only going to come the next day, and only the next day will be Rosh Hashanah. And surprise of surprises, the Eidim arrived after the Tumid Shel Bein HaBoyim was brought. It was still daylight, and they came in, and they said their Eidus. And now Bezin said, uh-oh, that means today is Rosh Hashanah, and we said the Shir Shul Yoyim at the time of the Tumid Shel Bein HaBoyim of Choyel. What are we going to do? So they made a special takana, and that the takana was that from now on, we're not going to accept the Eidus min HaMincha Ulamala. If the Eidim want to come, we'll listen to them. However, we're going to crown and declare Rosh Hashanah to be the next day. But what about all those people that were fasting? Not fasting. What about all those people that were not doing malacha today, based on the expectation that today is Rosh Hashanah? If we're going to go and tell them, Chevra, you made a boo-boo, really Rosh Hashanah is going to be tomorrow, you know what's going to happen? Next year people are not going to want to prohibit themselves from doing malacha on the 30th day of Elul, because they're going to go and say, remember what happened last year? We all were refrained from doing any malacha, and guess what? At the last minute we found out that the whole thing was fake news. It wasn't really Rosh Hashanah, only the next day was Rosh Hashanah. So because of that, they made a takana, Sha'yoyim Kodesh Ulamachrosi Kodesh, both days would be Kodesh, it would be a Yoyim Arichta. Because it's Yoyim Arichta, that's why the Be'yesh Anolda Bezeh, Asura Bezeh. Zomdach Nehedoi, all of that is wonderful, but it's all theoretical, because it never happened. What means it never happened? Ma'adaitach, Dilmam Abri Levi Elul, you're concerned that maybe the Eidim are going to come, min HaMincha Ulam Ma'ala, we're going to go and say, today is Kodesh, the 30th day of Elul, we're going to start going and counting the new month from tomorrow, the new year from tomorrow, that'll be Aleph Tishrei. Omer Rav Chinna Bar Kahana, Omer Rav, mi mois Ezra vi eilach le matzinu el mi over. For the times of Ezra until today, we never found the case of El that was 30 days, that we had to go and say that the next day will begin Rosh Hashanah, meaning on the 31st day. Rashi points out that even though the Gemara says this very emphatically, that we never found a day where, or a year, where the Eidim came after Mincha, so that we had to go and say, we're not going to accept the Eidus for today, we're going to accept the Eidus for tomorrow, and therefore today will be Lamed, and tomorrow is going to be Aleph Tishrei. This never happened. That's not 100% accurate, because in fact it did happen once. How do I know it happened once? Because that was the Gemara on Dalid Amid Beis, the last line, where it said, Ditnan, Dalid Amid Beis, the last line, Ditnan, Barishoyno, Yimakavan, Eidus Achoydish, Kol Hayoyim. They used to go and take the Eidus the entire day. Pam Achas Nishto, Eidim Lovoy, Eidim came late. They came after the Tomer Shuvein Aboyim, Neskal Kol Avim B'Shir. So it did happen once. What the Gemara means to say is that after they made this takana of not accepting the Eidus anymore, min ha-mincha l'mala, they never had to enforce this takana, because from that day on the Eidim never came min ha-mincha l'mala. They always came before mincha, and we always accepted them bizmanoi. So we never had a case of Elul of 30 days. Rather, we were makabel the Eidus 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, before the Tamar Shobein HaBoyim was brought, and that day became Rosh Hashanah, the first day. So what the Nedoya is trying to tell us is, since this Takana was never implemented halacha l'maisa, because the Eidim never came after that Pam Achas, they never came min ha-mincha l'mala, so therefore we never had a situation of 2 days straight, and having this din of Hayoyim Kodesh Ulamachar Kodesh, and merging the 2 days and saying now that both days happen to be Kedusha Achas, to Aser the day on day number 2. That's the reason why, said the Nedoy, in theory, you're right. But in implementation, in practice, since this never happened, you didn't have a situation where both days are Kedusha Achas. Therefore, the second day of Rosh Hashanah is never any better or any worse than the second day of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Goliyos. That's why, know the Bezeh, Muteres Bezeh. That's what Nedois said. Omer Mar Zutra. Mar Zutra goes back now to the locha of the mess, Chas V'Shalom. Remember, we said that one can bury the mess on Yom Tov Sheni, that is, Yidin can go and do the burial on Yom Tov Sheni. You know when we're going to permit the Yidin to go and be Mechalal Yom Tov? That's Tavka, that the body has been lying around for a while, L'mashal, from the first day of Yom Tov, and therefore, unfortunately, there may already be a stench, or we are concerned that there will be a stench very shortly. Then, as Kavan HaMes, we permit the burial on day number 2 of Yom Tov. Avloyishtoi, however, if the mess only passed away the mushal on Yom Tov Sheni, let's say 3 o'clock in the afternoon, then don't rush and be mavatal Yom Tov, be machal Yom Tov. Mashino, wait until Matzi Yom Tov and you'll bury the mess at that time. The whole Indian, of course, is as covered a mess. So if you're concerned about Nebach, the Reach, the stench, okay, that's a very important factor. If you're not concerned because it's already late, then you can wait until nightfall. But Ravashi, oh my no, afogablo yishtoi, namelish minule. Even if the mess just passed away now on second day of Yom Tov, and there's no real concern about the stench, nevertheless, I'll cover the mess, we allow for an immediate burial. My time, what's the reason why? Like we said earlier, Yom Tov Sheni lekabi mess, kechol shavyu rabban. After all, the whole inyan of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Goliyos is the din midrabanan. Like the Gemara said yesterday, even if we know for sure when Rosh Chodesh is, minag avisena biyadenu, we continue the Mesoira, but it's the rabanan. And since it's the Rabbanan said we make an exception to the rule when this chas is shown a mess, when then it's kechol shavir Rabbanan, as if it's a regular weekday. So much so, afil amegiz le glima ulamegiz le asa, even to go and cut garment or fabric into tachrichim, and even to go and cut asa, which of course is hadasim, you can go and cut hadasim from the tree, from a chubar, for purposes of the mess. Focusing just for a moment on the inyan of the hadasim, Rashi tells us that that was the meaning in those times, the covet of the mess was to go and put a nice hodos on top of the oroin, and that was a simen covet. So we don't want this mess to go without the regular covet, so we have permitted the asa. Rashi goes one step further. When it says, afilu amegiz leglima, we're not going and talking about making necessary tachrichim because there were no tachrichim available. Because says Rashi, if that's the case, it wouldn't say, afilu amegiz leglima. Rashi says, that is the din of Yom Tov Sheni being the Gabi Ames Kechor. That what? You can go and dig out a grave, even though you're not allowed to dig normally on Shabbos or in Yom Tov. Digging could be a tolda of either bone or soser, depending what the circumstances are, outside, inside. Anyway, you're not allowed to go and dig on Shabbos or on Yom Tov. Here, we permitted it since it's Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias, it's Rabbanan. The Rabbanan agreed, you're allowed to do the chafir. And the same Rabbanan agreed that you can go and cut up tachrichim. You can't bury a mess without tachrichim. So what's this afilu lemegiz leglima, which sounds like even beyond the necessaries, the necessities, says Rashi, even if you have ready tachrichim, but you want to add one more beged, or you want to add a nicer beged, you're allowed to do that as well on the second day of Yom Tov. Amravina, for idna today the ikka chavori. Chavori doesn't mean friends. A chaborim was a strange, unique nation that were notorious for their evil, for very being very, very bad. In today's terminology, we would talk about a country like Iran or other countries like that, where every word that they say is evil and bad and bad and evil. And they were a major folk that lived at the time of the Persians, in fact, in or next to Iran, and they would go and force Jews to go and work for them, almost like slaves. The only exception was that they had respect for religion, and when we told them, you should know tomorrow, the day after, is going to be Yom Tov, then they would spare us, and they wouldn't go and bother the Jews, and would give them off for the religion. However, if they would see on the second day of Yom Tov or Rosh Hashanah that we're going and burying Mesim, they would say, ah, that what they are doing is Zoroastrian. Okay, I'm not familiar. If you're going to go and see if the Chaborim are going to go and see the Eden are going out to the cemeteries and they're burying the dead, they'll say, ah, this is not a Yom Tov. This is just a regular Yom Chol. And in fact, we said that the second day of Yom Tov is Kechol Shavu Rabbanan Legabe, the din of Chas Shalom of the Mess. And so therefore we're afraid that the Chaborim are going to say, this is fake news, this is not Yom Tov, and they're going to force all the Jews to go and work on the second day of Yom Tov. And that's why they said, you know what? During the period of the Chaborim, they suspended this rule and said, don't bury the Yidden on Yom Tov so that we shouldn't have problems with the Chaborim. And David Fishman wants to share with us what Chaborim are known in English. What's the official name?
Zoroastrian.
Zoro?
Astrian.
And how is that spelled?
Okay. Zoroastrian. And the A-S-T-R in there has to do with stars.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Because they were astrologers. They were very into the stars.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay.
Not the Hollywood stars. The ones of the heavens.
Understood. Shkoyach. So that comment was shining like a star. So now just to see a little bit about the Chaborim, we'll stop right here before Ravina, take a quick look at the Rashi, which is parallel to where we are in the Gemara, the Ikka Chabori, so Rashi. Uma Risha, a very evil folk, Shehoyu B'mi Parsiim, that were the times of the Persians, the Koyfinis Yisrael Lasis Malachton, and they would force Jews to go and work for them, almost like enslaving them. Ubi Yontiv Ayu Nidocha Mehem. But on Yontiv, they would give them a break. Alidei Shoyim Lehem Yontivu. They would tell today is Yontiv, and we got a vacation for a day or two. The Amiru Oysa Mekabra Meiseyem, if they see that Yidin are burying the dead, Yekoyfu Oysa Mlamlocha, they're going to force them to go and work. V'hai Glima. So that's the Chabar. But getting back to the Glima, as we said earlier, V'hai Glima Di Amrinan, Li'el, Einu Tzerech HaMes, we're not talking about that it was an absolute necessity for the mess. Shariyesh Lo Itachrichim Achenim Kol Tzorcha. We're talking about a case where he had plenty of other alternative Tachrichim. Shim Tzorech Loi, if you're talking about, and in fact, this mess required new tachrichim. Mayafilu d'tikamar. Why does the Gemara say that afilu lemegis glei glima ha'amrinan b'yontav sheni is asked by Yisrael? We said that yontav sheni the yidin, the chevra kaddish, are allowed to go and be osik with the mess. The esik zeh. What is the definition of the esik? Chatzivas kivroi, going and digging out a grave. The chituch tachrichim and cutting the clothes, the garments, the fabric for tachrichim. Hilkoch al korchah beglima sheinu tzorach le'mayri. Must be that when we say afilu, afilu in other words, more than just the basics, but even to go and make a glima that he doesn't absolutely need. So why are we making this new glima? Presumably the old one may be a little bit old and this will be new, it will be a nicer material, whatever, it'll be more covered a mess, and therefore that's all too permissible. Don't need the asa. Just like by the hadasim, the sharlim exai, you let it go and cut the hadasim. The kamashim on the avagav, the tircha, the leitarachu. You don't need it. You can go and perform a kavura of a mess without hadasim. However, elamishim kvoi the oisim loi, yoisim idai, mutu lasis loi. Since we're making covered for him, just like we can have the covered of cutting up the hadasim, you can also have the covered of making new tachrichim, kim the gami mask, kechol shibir abana, made it just like a regular weekday, so all of these things are permitted. Okay, we saw a new shtickel now, which we're going to relate back to the Nerdoi in a moment. Remember, the Nerdoi were mekel, and they said, not only by a mess, but even by a beya shenol de biyontif, even if it's on Rosh Hashanah, although it's osir on the first day, but mutter on the second day. So the Gemara tells us, Ravina Abi Yosef Kamei de Rav Ashi. Ravina was sitting in front of Rav Ashi, Bishnei Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah. Oh, it happened starting tomorrow, a few years ago. Tomorrow will be the anniversary, the yard site of this story. It was Bishnei Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah, and specifically the first of the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. And Chazi de Abba Otzim, and he saw that Rav Ashi was unfortunately sad. Why are you sad? After all, it's Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, although it's, of course, it's a Yom Adin, but we're also supposed to go in the Simcha. So Rav Ashi told him, Eruv Tavshilin, I didn't have a chance to make an Eruv Tavshilin. So apparently this was a 3-day Yontif, so to speak. Thursday and Friday was Rosh Hashanah, and Friday is Shabbos Kodesh. Rav Ashi wanted to be able to go and cook, he or his wife or the household, to be able to cook on Friday, the Kuvan Shabbos, but he didn't make an Erev Tavshilin. He should have made one Erev Yontif, and now it's too late, and now he's all upset. Why don't you go and make an Erev today? You can go and make a Tanai. Now what do you mean a Tanai? So now, when he's referring over here that meniach odom eruv tefshil miyontav lechaveru masna, we're talking about the yontav sheni shlugogis, where we know that the ikar dedina, in truth, only one of the days is kodesh, the other one is chol, but mitzad savik we're machmir both days. So that being the case, we have an eitzah for someone who forgot to make an eruv tefshil, and that is, let's assume in our case, not that Thursday and Friday was Rosh Hashanah, but Thursday and Friday were Yom Tov Sheni Shel Kodesh. And a person forgets to make his Erev on Wednesday afternoon or Wednesday morning, and now it's Thursday morning, and he says, oh, I forgot to make an Erev. Says, Rav, but you have an Eitzah. You can make an Erev today with a Tanai. And you say, Rabbi Nishalei, I don't know which day is really Yom Tov and which day is Chol. If today happens to be Yom, let's start the other way. If today happens to be Chol and tomorrow is Yom Tov, so if it's Chol, it's Erev Yom Tov, I hereby am making an Eruv at Tavshilin. And then I'll be able to go and cook tomorrow. However, if you're going to tell me, no, today is Kodesh, fine. I say nothing. Zero. Gunish. And guess what happens? If today is Kodesh, that means tomorrow is Chol. If tomorrow is Chol, I'll be able to go and cook tomorrow, even without an Eruv at Tavshilin, just by the fact that tomorrow is Chol. So you can make such a Tanai, says Rav. What Ravina tried to do was to extend this Tanai and say that the same thing applies to the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. That today is the first day of Rosh Hashanah on Thursday. If today happens to be Chol, then I can make an Erev Tavshilin today. If today is Kodesh, then I don't need to make an Erev Tavshilin because tomorrow is going to be Chol, be able to go and cook. That's what he told Rav Ashi. Amalei. So he answered him, Eimad Yom Rav Vishnei Yom Tov Shal Galias Vishnei Yom Tov Shal Rosh Hashanah Mi Amah. Did he say that the same thing applies, that you can make this type of Tanai when it's 2 days of Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah, the 2 days are like a Yom Arichta, like a Kedusha Achas. It's one long 48-hour period. You can't go and make an Erev Tavshilin on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. So Ravina said, well, I mean, Nerdoi, Av Beyim Mutaris. Didn't Nerdoi say that this takana that the Chachamim made of Hayoyim Kodesh and the Machar Kodesh, all based on the concern that future Edom are going to come, Min HaMincho L'Mala, this never happened, Mi Yemois Ezra Ve'elech, except for that Pam Achas on the bottom of Dalet Omid Beis. So they never implemented this takana, and therefore it's like any other Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galias, that although we are nohag both days Kodesh, but it's 2 kiddushois, and that's why the second day the bay is mutter. So therefore you should be able to go and make now an Eruv Tavshilin on day 1, on behalf of day 2. Amrei Rav Mordechai, said Rav Mordechai, who was a Talmud of Rav Ashi, so he's a Rashi, Rav Mordechai was a Talmud of Rav Ashi, he tells now Ravina, Befedish Omli Mar, in the Reb, meaning Rav Ashi, he said, we do not paskin like Nerdoi. We hold that, in fact, Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah is different than Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galias, that it's a Kedusha Achasi, Yom Arichta, and that's why, for instance, in Yat Hashem, tomorrow night, all of us are going to make a Shechiyonu on new fruit, because we have a concern. If it's one long day, why are you making 2 Shechiyonos? One tonight and one tomorrow night. So that's why, to take care of all chashashas, all sveikis, we have the new fruits and we make the Shechiyonu on those. And with that, we're moitzi the second day of Rosh Hashanah, in case the second day of Rosh Hashanah is deemed to be a sofik like a Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galias. With this, we completed that shtickle of Rav Ashi and Ravina, and now we go on to Itmar. Now this Gemara is very similar to the very beginning of our Masechta, when we spoke about a Beya Shenol the Biyontif. Here we're talking about Itmar Efroyach Shenol the Biyontif. You have a chick that was hatched on Yontif, which means that the egg in which the chick was, and still is, was laid even perhaps a day or two earlier. And today, this Efroich on Yom Tov, the chick has enough koyach to burst out from the outside shell. So now it's hatching literally today on Yom Tov. Are you allowed to go and eat this Efroich? Now, as we'll see in the Gemara shortly, initially, if the Efroich's eyes are still shut closed, Reb Lezer ben Yaakov holds that you're not allowed to go and eat this Efroyach. It's as if it's a treifa, a nevela, or rather the Gemara refers to it on the Amud Beis as a sheretz, if its eyes are still closed. Once the eyes already are open, now this Efroyach is kosher, and to be able to eat it, we're going to need shechita. which is what, if you remember, Brother Shai spoke about yesterday or the day before. The Efroich would require Shechit. So the question is, this Efroich was now hatched on Yontif. Tosis points out that if the eyes are still closed, then it would be Osir even Bechol. Not only would it be Osir on Yontif, it's Osir Bechol because it's still considered to be a Sheret. Like the Gemara is going to tell us on the Amud Beis. But this Efroich already opened its eyes. So in terms of if it was Chol, you'd be able to go and Shecht it and eat it. However, today is Yontif. Does it have the same din like the Beya of our Mishnah, the Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, and we Paskel like Beis Hillel, that it's Osir? Is there the same din? So as we'll see now in the Gemara, in fact, it's a Machlokes between Rav and Shmuel or Rabbi Yochanan. So Itmar, Efroich should know the Yontif. You have this chick which hatched on Yontif itself, Rav Amo Osir. You're not allowed to eat it today. You have to wait until the day later, the day after Yontif. This is not talking about Rosh Hashanah, but any Yontif. It was born, it was hatched on day one. You cannot eat it that day. You can only eat it after Yontif, according to Rav. Ushmuel, the same Rabbi Yochanan, either Shmuel or Rabbi Yochanan said, Omer it's mutter, you're allowed to. And the Gemara explains, Rav Amo Osir Muktzehu. It is Muktzah. Now why is this Muktzah? Because until Yontif began, this chick was still in it, inside its egg. And as Rashi explains, even though there's a machloikis after the chick hatches, whether or not the chick opened its eyes yet or didn't open its eyes, at which point does it become mutr la'achila? But kuli alamoide, if the chick is still inside its egg, inside its klipa, everybody agrees that it's awesome. And since the Efroich was within its klipa when Yontif started, it is mukta for the entire Yontif. Shmuel, the same Rabbi Yochanan Omar, mut hoil matir atzvei b'shchita, meaning that if and when the chick is laid, is hatches today, opens his eyes today, I can go and shecht it today. If I have the right to go and shecht it, migui, that it becomes mutter b'shchita, which was osir until now. Until now it was a sheret and it was non-kosher. The fact that it was now hatched and came out and opened its eyes, now it becomes mutter l'achila with shchita, is migui, that the shchita will help to go and be materit to eat, that same heter of shchita will also take away the muktza isur. It's a migui that it's chal for this, it also helps for that. That's what Rashi says. If you look at Rashi, hoil umatir atzmoi, if you look at the fourth wide line of Rashi down below, hoil umatir atzmoi, and the Gemara says b'shchita, as a result of the fact that now it hatched, it was born, that now it is susceptible to shchita. Before it was born, that was impossible. Even if you would crack open the egg and pull out the chick and try to shecht it, it would be awesome to do so. Af muktza, hiteris atzim v'leidosi, just like the Isser Achila goes away when it hatches, and now it becomes Mutter to Shech. So the Isser Mukta also goes away. To Migo to Iskin Laha, Iskin Laha. As a result of the fact that the birth, the hatching of this chick allows for Shechita, even though until now it was Osir Ba'achila, Shechita will now make it Mutter. That same Heter Shechita will also allow for that the Isser Muktza goes away. Frank Dimar Amri Leir of Kahanav Rav Asi L'Rav. Rav, remember, said that the Efroich Shanoi L'Biyontiv is Osir. V'chima Ben Zeli Egel Shanoi L'Biyontiv. What happens if you have a female cow, and that female cow gives birth on Yontiv to an Egel, to a young calf? What's the halach of that Egel? The halach is, as we'll see on the Amud Beis, that it's Mutter. Now, why when the eagle is born on Yontif is his mutter, and when the chick hatches on Yontif is it osir? Manishtana, what's the difference? Amalahus Rav said, Hoyu umuchan agav imoy b'shchita. Because there's a major difference. the chick, when it was still in the egg, was osir b'achila, because it was still considered to be, like the Gemara is going to say on the Amud Beis, it's considered to be a sheret. It's osur. However, this egg, when it was within its mommy's womb, was mutter b'achila agav shechita. What does that mean? What happens if someone goes and checks a pregnant animal and then finds within the pregnant animal that the fetus is in fact a viable animal? That's the famous halacha of the ben pekua, that the ben pekua is mutter. Mitzad ikra din, you don't even need to go and shecht the live egel inside. Yes, in the Sechtes Chulin we learned that the Rabbanan said, no, you have to go and shecht it, because otherwise a person could let this ben pekua live for years later, and then somebody's going to see how an Erlich Hayid goes and just kills this ego, which now has developed into a full-fledged animal, and he's going to go and eat from it and say, doesn't need shechita. Really, doesn't need shechita? How could that be? So that we shouldn't have that problem of Maris Ayin and people learning the wrong din. That's why we say that L'chadchila don't, that even by Ben Pekua, the Rabbanan hold in the Sechtes Chulin when she go and shechita. But Mekar Adin, you're allowed to go and eat a ben pekua, agav imoy b'shchita. Ah, so therefore, before Yontav began, this animal was pregnant. And if I would have shechted the animal on Erev Yontav, I could have eaten the egel already at that time. So it was not osur. So now when it gets laid the next day on Yontav, it's mutter, and mutter b'shchita. Mashenkin, in the case of the egg, since on Erev Yontav the egg contained this chick inside was osur b'achila. The reason why it's osur b'achila is because that's a din of a sheretz, like we'll see in the Amud Beis. So it was full-fledged muktzah. Today, when it hatches and it comes out of the shell, it's still muktzah, because before Yontav it was muktzah. Frank Dimara, what happens if instead of an eagle being born to a regular, normal cow, it was born to a cow which was treifa? And therefore, if a person shechted or were to shecht the mami, and then find an eagle inside, and at the same time also find that there was a major puncture in the lung, or in the heart, or one of the other vital organs that caused this animal to be a treifa, then the shechita would not be matir the egel inside, because it's a shechita of a treifa. It doesn't aser, it doesn't prohibit the egel. You can go and independently go and shech the egel, and as long as it is not treif, it's kosher. So, Frank the Gemara, wouldn't you agree, Rav, that the halacha that an egel shenoylet beyond of his mutter applies even to an egel shenoylet min treifa? And if you're going to say that, then it was not mutter agav imoy or muchen agav imoy b'shchita. Because had you shechted the mami yesterday or today, guess what? The mami would have been osur, because it's a treifa, and you couldn't eat the egel based on that deficient or inferior shechita, because it was a shechita of a treifa animal. So what are you going to say then? Are you going to tell me that the egel is osur to go and shecht now in Yontav? No, there's no such din. Any egel that is born on Yom Tov, you're allowed to go and shecht. It's a bright Samir Shem will see in the Amud Beis. So what, Rav, what's the difference between the egel shenoyved l'treifa, that before Yom Tov it was osur to eat, and it would not have been muchan agav imoy, and the chick that was in the shell until today, until Yom Tov, where it was also osur b'achila, because it has the status of a sheretz? Says Yimar Shosik Rav. Rav was dumbfounded by the kasha, and he didn't know what to answer. Frank Timar Leimaluhu, Lechoyra, have a good answer that Rav could have said. What does that mean? Even though the mother of this egel was not Muchan Li Odom, because it was a treifa, but what do you do with treifa meat? You go and give it to your klovim, you can go and give it to your dogs. See, it was muchan after all. It wasn't muchan li adam, but it was muchan li klavim. And the Gemara is therefore suggesting that as long as something is muchan for something in my household, okay, not for me personally, because it's treif, but it's mukhan for purposes of my klavim, that's enough to take away the isim mukza from the egel that was inside this treifa on Erev Yatav. Amalei Abaye said, oh no, you cannot say that mukhan leklavim is deemed to be mukhan leodam. Why not? Amalei Abaye, hashta mukhan leodam lo yhava mukhan leklavim. I'm going to show you a reverse case where something was mukhan leodam, but nevertheless was not mukhan leklavim. Did not. Mechakun is a dlum afnei abehemo. Everybody please check and put yourselves on mute. Brother Shai, please put yourself on mute because there's some background noise. So the Gemara hash the muchan li adam li have a muchan li klavim. Muchan li adam is not muchan li klavim. Ditnan mechatchan is a dlum lefnei abehima beyasan aveilu lefnei aklavim. The Tanakh Kama says that you can go and cut up a large gourd or large pumpkin before the behema on yontif, even though it involves a big tircha. For those of you that have never cut up pumpkins, try it out one time. You'll see that it's heavy duty tircha work. But you're allowed to do that in the Tanakh Kama. V'yasan aveila fnei aklavim, and you're allowed to go and cut up an aveila to give to your kelev on yontif, or even on Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, im lo yois an aveila mi erev Shabbos asura. What happens if this animal that's now an aveila only became an aveila on Shabbos? Yesterday it was still running around, but today on Shabbos it expired, the animal died, it only became an aveila on Shabbos, asura, then it's asur, lefisha eina mina muchan, because it is not, it was not muchan from before Shabbos, and therefore it's mukza, and that's why you can't serve it to your klavim on Shabbos. So now, before we continue on, this is Abaye is talking, and Abaye is saying, hash muchan li odan, this animal yesterday, Erev Yontif was Muchan li'adam, because it was still a live, kicking animal running around and everything was fine. Today, unfortunately, it died. And therefore, today, it's an aveila. So why don't I say that it's still Muchan li'adam, because it was Muchan li'adam yesterday. Had I wanted to, I could have shechted it yesterday. Yesterday was Erev Shabbos. Friday, I could have shechted this animal. It was alive and kicking. A very good, strong animal. So it was mukhan li adam. So unfortunately it died Friday night. It might have died because there was some sort of accident. It was running in the street and a car hit it or whatever. And now became a nevela. Why shouldn't I be able to give it to klavim? It wasn't mukza before Shabbos. It was mukhan li adam. Nevertheless, Sokta Chabaya, I see from this mukhan li adam, lo yave mukhan li klavim. So now continuing on, Muchan leklavim have muchan leodam. Are you going to go and tell me when something was muchan leklavim, like the case of the Omer Aleph, where the mami was a treifa? Are you going to tell me that that is muchan leodam because muchan leklavim? It's like a kal v'chaymer. It's so illogical to go and say that muchan leklavim have muchan leodam. Madach muchan leodam, which of course is a big achana that even people can go and eat it. That's not enough. It's not mukhan leklavim. So if the animal dies, you cannot serve it to the animal on Shabbos. It was mukhan leklavim. Sorry. It was not mukhan leklavim. Here you tell me it was mukhan leklavim because it was a kreva, so then it should be mukhan leklavim. Come on, does that make sense? Amalei, and yes, it does make sense. I'll show you why. Mukhan leklavim le'ava mukhan leklavim demayde chazer le'inish le'ishad le'leklavim. If a person has something that he is allowed to eat, that he can serve himself and his wife and his children and orchem, it's mukhan li'adam, he's not going to go and give a good piece of meat or a good ocher to his dogs. The only thing he's going to give to his dogs is going to be dog food, like nebelis and treifas and things that people cannot use. So although it's mukhan li'adam, it's not mukhan li'klavim. All this kosher meat, I would never even think of giving it to a caliph. To my chazal of the initially shadli the club. So therefore, when I have before Shabbos an animal which is alive and running around and kicking and all the rest, it's only mukhan li'adam. It's not mukhan li'klavim. I would never in a million years give this to a caliph. Unfortunately, it was killed, it died on Shabbos. Okay, it's unfortunate. I never in my wildest dreams on Erev Shabbos had in mind that this should be for klavim. But on the other hand, mukhan leklavim have a mukhan leodam. You know why? The data, the inish, the chazile. When a person has any type of possession, whether it's the most valuable possession, or whether it's a basically worthless possession. But if you own it, you're going to try to figure out whatever usage you can get from that item. So if a person has, for instance, a behemoth which is a trefa, he thinks to himself, what am I going to go and do with it? I'm not going to go and just throw it out in the garbage. I could use it for my caliph. Ah, zotimar mucham leklam, have a mucham yadam, the diet of the inish akol mida dechosele. Anything that he can use in any capacity, he has in mind, I'm going to use it. I don't know how, where, what, don't worry. Don't take this trefa away, don't send it away, don't be mafkirit. I'll figure out a use for it. So therefore it's considered to be mucham. So if this trefa gives birth to an egel, that egel that's born on yontif is considered to be mucham, because in this case, mucham leklavim, have a mucham liadam. So that was the discussion that went back and forth. But now let's get back to the original halacha. The original halacha was not about the egel, it was about the efroyach. If you have a chick that went and was hatched on yontif itself, machlokes between Rav and Shmuel or Rabbi Yochanan, Rav said it's osir, Shmuel or Rabbi Yochanan said that it's mutter. So zokti yomara, I'm going to bring raya's to both. Tani kavasa the Rav, Tani kavasa the Shmuel, the same Rabbi Yochanan. Tani kavasa the Rav, egel shenoy lebi yontif is mutter. That's what we kept on talking about in the Amud Aleph. Egel noy lebi yontif is mutter. And the Gemara concluded, even if it's an egel that's born to a treifa, because muchan leklavim have a muchan leoda. That's what. Efroich shenoy lebi yontif is asur. Oh, that's Rav's halacha. The Rav said efroich is asur. Uman bein hefresh bein zelizeh. Man ishtana. What's the difference? Zeh muchan agav ima b'shchita. In the case of the egel already from erev yontif, it was already ready to be eaten. How? Shecht on Erev Shabbos or Erev Yomtiv. Shecht this animal. If inside we find the egel, this egel is mutter to eat. No problem. You don't even need shechita. It's a ben pekur. However, v'zeh, in the case of the efroyach shenoy lebi yomtiv, ein muchan agav imoy. It's not muchan. Here, agav imoy, we don't really mean inside its mother. We really mean inside its klipa. On Erev Yomtiv, this efroyach inside the klipa was totally asur, as we'll see in a moment, because it has the status like a sheretz. You're not allowed to eat it. So even though now it hatched and it came out of its shell, literally it came out of its shell, nevertheless, and even if it opened its eyes, according to Rab, it still remains asur because it's mukt. Tanik was the Shmuel, the same Rabbi Yochanan. Egel shenoy lebi yontif is mutter, like we just said a moment ago, that everybody agrees. The efroyach shenoy lebi yontif is mutter. Oh, so this is directly like Shmuel or Rabbi Yochanan, not like Rav, because Rav said efroyach shenoy lebi yontif is asur. Now, my time, what's the reason why it's mutter? After all, isn't it mutter from erev yontif? Says Yomar, is it muchan agav imoy? In the case of the egel shenoy lebi yontif, it was muchan agav imoy in the mommy's womb. If you shechted it before yontif, it would have been mutter la'achila as ben pekur. V'zeh mater atzim b'shchita. Even though this efroyach inside the shell was also yesterday, but by the fact that it hatched today and it opened its eyes, now I'm allowed to eat it through shchita. So since the shchita takes away the iser achila, the same shchita will take away the iser mukta. Now we've spoken so much about this efroyach being osur when it's still in the shell. Tanu Rabbanan, efroyach shenoy lebi yontif osur. This is just like Rav said. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov omer af b'chayil osur. Even if the efroyach is hatched on a regular weekday, not yontif and not Shabbos, a regular weekday, it's all to osur as long as the efroyach's eyes are still closed. You gotta wait until the eyes open. That might take a few minutes, maybe a few hours, maybe a day, I don't know. But as long as the eyes are shut sealed, says Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, it still has the din of a sheretz, and you're not allowed to eat it, even with shechita. Who's the Tana of the following brisa? It says in the pasuk, "L'chol asheretz asheretz ala oretz." That l'chol comes to be marba. L'rabis efroichim shlo nispatzchu einayhem. It comes to include not only your standard sheretz, like we think of a crawling, creeping critter. But even Nefroyach Shul Nisvat, remember, we're not talking about over here Tumma Shuratim of the Shmoyne Shuratim. We're talking about any Sheretz. Hasheretz Al Aretz, that has a din of Isser Achila, it comes to be Marbe Efroichim Shleim Nisvat Shleim Neyam, Efroichim that didn't open up their eyes. Who is the Tan of this Braisa, that as long as the eyes are shut, sealed, you're not allowed to go and eat from the Efroyach? Kiman Kerblazim and Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov was the one that told us that halacha. Because according to the Chachamim, once the chick is hatched, even if the eyes are closed, you're still allowed to go and shecht it. But that's only after it's hatched. When it's still inside the egg, kuli alamoida, that it's ushered to eat until it comes out. Amar Rav Huna Marav, Beya Miyitziyasa Nigmara. Rav Huna says the name of Rav, when an egg comes out from the hen, it emerges, nigmara, it's finished. Now, what is he trying to tell us that it's finished? Do you mean that you look at the egg and it looks like a nice, finished, polished egg? You can... What is Rav trying to tell us, Bayim Yitzias and Nigmara? Rav doesn't say he's talking about a yontif. He's just talking normal. Bayim Yitzias. You have a hen in your chicken coop, it just laid an egg. Oh! Nigmara, it's finished! Freik Timura. My, what does he mean in Yitzias and Nigmara? What halacha is he trying to tell us? Ilema in Yitzias and Nigmara, Materes for Achle Machalim. Ah! What he's telling us is that it no longer has a din of fleishiks because of the fact that it came out of the mommy's womb or whatever you call it by a hen. It was laid. You can eat it now with milk. And of course we all know that you're allowed to go and eat eggs with milk. Even though an egg was produced by a hen. And we all know that a hen is fleishiks. If a hen is fleishiks and you cannot eat it with milk, then how can you go and eat the egg with milk? Oh, that's what Rav Huna Amar Rav is telling us for Chiddush. That as long as we're still inside the mommy, it has a din of fleishiks. But when it comes out, it's nigmara, and now it's parv, and you're allowed to eat it with milkiks. Pray Timora, is that what Rav meant? What you're telling me is, Habimei ima asur li ochla b'cholof. If you find the egg inside the hen, and you extract it, you're telling me that it's awesome to eat with milk? But Tanya, we learned that Shaykhul is the Tanagolis, you shech the Tanagolis, and Matzba, Bein Gimurais, and you find inside finished eggs. And Rashi says when we're talking about Bein Gimurais, it doesn't even have to mean that it has the shell, even without the shell. But you still saw the entire egg, the yolk, the yellow of the egg in the middle. You have the white of the egg from the outside. Even though there's no shell, mutaris achle mechalav, you're allowed to go and eat it with milk. So you see that even before it comes out, even before it's in a shell, it's parva, and you're allowed to eat it with milk. So what is Rav telling us? Imitiyasa nigmara. Ella imitiyasa nigmara, umutaris the achle biyantiv. Ah, what we're telling us is that when the beya comes out, then you're allowed to go and eat it on yontiv. What does that mean? What he means to say is that the only iser is because of the iser of the hachana derabba. Without the hachana derabba, it's nigmara. And therefore, let's take a look at the Rashi in the middle of the Amud. You see what Rashi says? Biyontif. Biyontif. Teres the achra biyontif. Rashi. Fachik amar. What Rav means to say, yotsa, if it came out, Vadai mib'oyjoyim mutter. Not that it came out on yontif. If it came out on yontif, we'd have the problem of Beishanol de biyontif. Beishanol de biyontif, Beisil said, is also bachir. So we're talking about a bey that was born, or that not was born, it was laid mib'oyjoyim, vadai mib'oyjoyim, in other words, from Friday. Mutter, you're allowed to go and eat that on yontif. Ki vadai hu de nigmar b'chayim. Because if it was laid on Erev Yontif, Mabayjayim, then we know that it was finished on Chayav during the week. And therefore it's Mutter. Avaloy Yotzisa, however, if it didn't come out on Erev Yontif, it only came out on Yontif, Loy Nigma, or for that matter, even if it didn't come out yet, if it's still within Me'ei Ima, Loy Nigma, B'choyu V'asun, Mishem Achonad Derabba, then you wouldn't be able to eat it because of the Achonad Derabba that was You will remember the second of the four pshatim that we learned in our first Mishnah. Or we learned to explain our first Mishnah. So getting back to the Gemara, we're now at the end of the narrow lines, beginning of the wide lines. El-im yitziyasa nigmar, what does that mean? That if it was laid on Erev Yontif, it's nigmar, it's finished. Umuteres liyachmi yontif, you're allowed to go and eat it on Yontif. Now, that l'chayr is no grois achidish. Of course, any egg that was laid during Chol, you can eat it on Yontif. All of our Yontif eggs, all the eggs that we eat on Yontif, presumably were laid sometime during the week. Right? We bought eggs in the store. They weren't laid today. They were laid a day ago, a week ago. Ich weiß how long ago. So it was presumably b'chol. And even if it was b'Shabbos, it's only asr on Shabbos. The next day it's already mutter. So therefore, what's the chiddush if it's yitzias and nigmara, that if it came out mibodyoim on Friday, that you're on Erev Yontif, you can eat it on Yontif. The chiddush is the diuk. Habameima, however, if it was not laid on Erev Yontif, but Yontif morning, you feel the hen, you stick your hand, your fingers into the hen, and you extract a full-fledged egg, that's a surah b'ochel, you're not going to eat that on Yontif. Why wouldn't you be able to eat that on Yontif? Because if it's a full-fledged egg, that means it was nigmar the day before, and now we have a problem of hachana from Shabbos to Yontif, Yontif to Shabbos. What happened if it's Yontif in the middle of the week, so there was no Shabbos concern? That's the gzeira, also the case of when Yontif falls out on Sunday, that it was nigmar on Shabbos, and like Rabbi said, that all sudais and all foods that you eat on Shabbos and Yontif have to be prepared from Chol, and not chas v'shalom be prepared from Shabbos to Yontif. Frank Gemara, if that's what Rav is telling us, Vatanya, didn't we learn? We just learned this Gemara before. Ashoich v'satani gadas, yishach v'satani gadas. Umatzeh ba'beim gemuras, and you find beim gemuras, it doesn't even have to be with a shell, even without the shell. Mutaris v'achol miyontif, you're allowed to go and eat it on Yontif. Oh, so you are allowed to go and eat in Yontif if you find Bayim Gemuris inside the Tani Goyilis. So why are you telling me that only if it's Nigmara from Erev Yontif, Mutal Achla B'Yontif? But Habim E'ima, it's Asur V'Achla. Habim Feirish Ebraisa, you found the B'E'ima on Yontif itself, Mutal Achla B'Yontif. V'chitayim, Kamashman B'Braisa. Maidul Yashmina B'Masnissin. Maybe you're going to go and tell me this Braisa is not authoritative. This Braisa is erroneous, because how can the Braisa tell us something that we don't find in our Mishnah anywhere? And therefore you're going to go and say, like Rashi says, if Rebbe didn't know about it, Reb Chiya Minayin Loi, im Rebbe Loi Shona, Reb Chiya Minayin Loi. So maybe you're going to tell me this Braisa is not correct. Hanami Tanina, we in fact learned in our first Mishnah, our very first Mishnah, the whole machlokes lechayr is only when the egg was laid on Yontif. But if it's still inside the mami, everybody would agree then it's mutter. Why would everybody agree if it's mutter? L'marshal, if you hold because of Pedus Anoishin Amayim Shezavu, nothing came out. You extracted it from the me'eima. Everybody would agree it's mutter. Maybe you're going to go and tell me Beisil hot. Just like a Beis Shanol to be on to his Asur, Beya bin Eiman is also Asur. Why do you tell me Nolda? So why does the Mishnah talk about Nolda? Nolda is a case of Nola, which is a strong form of Mutza. And therefore, you know why the Mishnah tells us that case? Not only Me'ima is a mutter, but even if it's born, if it's laid, it's also mutter. So you're going to go and tell me that the Mishnah is not telling us that Kuli Alma Moid Me'iman is mutter, but rather Beis Hillel holds Me'iman is Asur, and then therefore that would be consistent with the previous Braisa, Me'ima Asura V'Achla. El Harasanya, let's look at another Braisa. Hashoyi Chirisatani Goyles Amatsa Bebeim Gemura is Mutaris V'Achla B'Yantif. Again, the Braisa that we quoted before. You find Beim Gemur is inside, you're allowed to eat them in Yontif, right? You're a man, and you're a Beisham, and you're a Beisil. The Chari, this Braisa doesn't stim like Beishami or Beisil. Because according to Beishami, Beishami says, not only if they're Beim inside Me'ima, even if they're born, even if they're hatched, not hatched, even if they're laid even if they're late on Yontif, Beis Shammai holds it as mutter, because Beis Shammai doesn't hold the din of Noilin. So why are we talking about inside Beim Gemurais, inside the Tanakh Kodesh itself? It can't be Beis Hillel, because you just said now, according to Beis Hillel, that the Ne'iman is Taka Asur, and here holds it as mutter. So what's pshat in this Rav? I don't understand. Rav said, Beya in Yetiyasa Nigmara. We said it's not coming to tell you the din of Basar Mechalt. It's not coming to tell you the din if it was Nigmar, that it was laid on Erev Yontif. Because for that, I already have the Mishnayis and the Brises. So Oy Bazoi, so what did he mean? What Rav was telling us was not a Hilchois Kashrus, not a Hilchois Shabbos or Yontif. He's coming to tell you Hilchois Mekach Umemker. He's coming to tell you halachas that involve business. And that is, if you have an egg which was fertilized, a fertilizing, not our eggs that we buy in the store which are unfertilized. If you have a fertilized egg, as soon as the egg comes out and is laid, if the hen continues sitting on it, or you put it into an incubator or something like that, there's a good chance that eventually a chick will hatch and will grow out of this egg. However, if you extract an egg from the me'ayim of the hen, and then put it into an incubator and have the hen sit on it, it's not going to produce chicks. It'll produce perhaps a beautiful fried egg or a beautiful cooked egg, but it's not going to be megadol afroichem. So that's what Rav meant. Beya im yitziyasa nigmara, that this is a full-fledged egg, that it can produce offspring. It can become a chick. And we give a real live example. A person was asking, Beye de Pachya Leman, who can sell me Beye de Pachya? What means Beye de Pachya? The top Rashi says, eggs that were laid by a living tiny goyless. The word Pachya really means that it's making noises. Why is it making noises? Because the hen is alive, and we know that hens and roosters make a lot of noise. And so therefore he's saying, I want to have an egg from a noisy hen. The man, who has one like that? Yavulei beyim deshchuta. They didn't give him beyim of a live hen, they gave him the beyim of a hen that was already geshachted. In other words, they shachted it, and they opened it up, and they found some eggs inside. Also, the Kalei Rabami came in front of Rabami, and he told Rabami, I asked for Beyim Depachya from a live hen, and they sold me from a dead hen, from a geshachtene hen. Amalahu mekach toesu v'hadar. You have every right to get your money back. Give them back the egg. Get back your money, because they sold you a dud. You wanted to have Beyim Depachya, and they sold you Beyim Deshchuta. Frey Timora, Pshita, what's the chiddush over here? He specifically said, I want Beyim Depachya, and they sold him Beyim Deshchuta. So what's the chiddush? He didn't want to go and produce new chicks. He wanted to go and eat the egg. Why to come in the pachia? No, the reason why he wanted pachia, mishum the tzriva, because those eggs are considered to be better, tastier, healthier, more nourishing. For whatever reason, he liked those eggs better. He felt that was better for his nourishment, for his appetite. And oy bazoi. So the person gave him a Beyim Deshchuta, which is not so delicious. It's a little bit inferior. And therefore, l'may nafkimina, l'maysva le beini beini. The only thing that he tricked him was, instead of giving him triple A eggs, he gave him triple B eggs. Okay? So what's the difference in price between triple A and triple B? Ich weiß, for a dozen eggs, the difference is 10 cents, 20 cents, whatever it happens to be. And so therefore, I wouldn't say it's a full-fledged mekach toys. And therefore, give him back the egg, get back the money, but just give him the difference in price, the 10 or 20 cents. Kamash Malon, that's what Rav's coming to tell you. No, it's not just a difference in your taste buds, that this tastes better or it's more nourishing. When you have Beyim Depachya, it can produce brand new Ephraichim, brand new chicks. If you have bayin d'shchuta, it cannot. Or a bayin that you extracted from the mommy's womb, it cannot produce chicks. If that's the case, then that's a different world altogether. It's a totally different price range and strategy and economics. And therefore, you have to go and give the egg back and give back the money and not just give him the difference in price, the bayni u bayni. And with this, we'll stop. And let me wish everybody a yidke ben shur, aksiv achsima toiva, and all wonderful blessings for the forthcoming year of good health and of nachas and simchas and panosa b'chol mili demetiv. Anybody have any questions?
Yeah, what was the question about a hana de rava, of a rava that we also have?